Good morning again. How we doing? Okay, first time was better. So we'll try again. Good morning. Very good. Very good. We are in our last study on the book of Joshua in this series that we're doing. And so in many ways, this is really the highlight point of the book, thus the title of the message this morning, As For Me and My House. And you're going to hear that a lot, that phrase a lot this morning. And so I just want that to be in the forefront of your mind. And what a declaration he makes in these verses. Let's just start off with a word of prayer and then we'll jump into this. Father, thank you for your word that transforms us. And Lord, we open up our hearts to you and we ask that you would use this text and your word in our lives just to honor your name, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn them to Joshua 24. We're going to be looking at verses 14 to 18 this morning. And we're going to see some probably most famous words in the Old Testament. These words were so powerful in that day that they have rung out through the centuries until where we have it today in our Bibles and that we hear it today as well. And I guess they're just as powerful today as when Joshua spoke them back then because the challenge is so necessary, isn't it? I mean, we live in this culture, we live in this world, and this challenge is so needed. And as you probably know, Joshua at this point in chapter 24 is older. He's got like this one last message that he wants to give to the people of Israel. And you just have to respect Joshua. I mean, he was just such a great leader for the nation. I mean, like, how in the world do you follow a guy like Moses? Can you imagine that? Like, I'm going to step into the shoes of Moses and lead this nation. I don't know. I'm just intimidated thinking about it. And yet Joshua does it so well. Well, what an example that he has been to the people of Israel, and his example of steadfastness, his example of faith and how to finish strong. I mean, you just got to love that. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I start thinking about that. I start thinking about how I want to finish strong. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he was at the end of his life, at the end of his journey. He makes statements like this. He says, the time of my departure has come. And then he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And now there's this crown of righteousness that awaits me. Paul wanted to finish strong. And I want to encourage you here today, just to evaluate how it's going. Like, no matter how old you are, whether you're 10 or you're 90, just to take a look at your life and to evaluate and to see how you're living it. Like, are you on course? Are you on track to finish strong? The first 13 verses of chapter 24, Joshua's looking back and he's remembering that Abraham's dad served other gods. And then Abraham comes along and he follows God. And God gives him this family of Isaac and Jacob and Esau. And he remembers God sending Moses and Aaron to bring the people out of Egypt and how God parted the Red Sea to get away from the Egyptians. And then God sustains them in the wilderness. And then they lived on the other side of the Jordan. And God blesses them to win wars and take possession of the land. Right? God delivers them out of the hands of Balak and Balaam. And then they go to Jericho and God gives them the city. And God sent hornets to go before them to drive out the Amorites. And the land was theirs. Point being, all through all of that, God was faithful to them. And I want to encourage you, and I want you to look back and see how God has blessed your life. Just to think about the favor of God in your life. You know, as I look back at my life, I can for sure see God's faithfulness. I'm so thankful to him for that. Not that I haven't seen a lot of tragedy or I have been through big hurts, but at the same time, I've seen God walk with me every step of the way. Anybody else testify to that? Yeah, there's a few. After all of what God has done for us, Joshua is challenging us to decide who we will serve. Right? To draw that line in the sand. There just comes a time when your faith must stand up and be counted. It's a whole point of this message that Joshua gives. Let's read it just starting in verse 14. We're going to pick up the message really at this high point, at the culmination of the whole, as it sums up with this challenge. Verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." So he goes all the way back to Mesopotamia, the river Euphrates, where Abraham's father served other gods. And he's like, put away all that stuff. And he just says, serve the Lord. Why? Because the God of Israel is greater and stronger than all of these idols. And then in verse 15, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you'll serve. Whether the God, excuse me, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose your land you dwell. And then he says that big phrase, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Right now, I hope the choices to serve God is clear for you. He makes this declaration, right? As for me and my house, here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve God. And then the people answer in verses 16 to 18, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, which is a great answer, right? And it would be really great if it would stay true for Israel, but we know, read the book of Judges, right? We know they go up and down and all over the place. He goes on, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Great answer. Great answer. Go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me this morning as we drill down on these verses a little bit. And the first thing that I want us to see is this phrase, fear the Lord. Right? Verse 14, first part. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. So what does it mean to fear? In this case, it's not a negative word, right? It's not a fear that strikes some negative emotion. That's not it at all. The word fear here means, and it's a very strong word, it means to respect, to stand in awe, to have reverence. And I tell you, this is a good word because I just think there needs to be some reverence for God in our world today. Would you agree? We live in a time and a culture where there's a lot of mocking the things of God, when there really needs to be a lot more reverence. And here's where the challenge gets real. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But as for me and my house, I've decided. I know where I stand. Right? And I will respect God. Let me illustrate this way. Maybe this will ring true for you. If you've had a good father, and I qualify that because I realize not everyone has or had a good father. But if you did, it's a great picture because you know the Father's love. You don't question that for one moment, but at the same time, if you know the Father's love for you, you always respect the Father. In fact, you probably have a lot of respect for him. That's kind of the idea here. And if that's true of God, then we should serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Right? God has done all this stuff for us, has given us favor, and we're in relationship with God. How do you respond to that? You serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Now the word service, just as it appears, it means to recognize his authority. It means to realize that God is God and you are not. Here's how it works. When we're in relationship with God, and he has authority in our lives, and so when he says that this is what I want you to do in his word, our answer is, our response is what? Should be, yes, Lord. When he says, I want you to walk in this way, we say, yes, Lord. Why? Because he has authority in our lives. That's what it means to walk with God, to serve the Lord. Paul in the New Testament used this expression to describe himself over and over again. And I love this expression. He says, I am a bondservant of the Lord. What a powerful understanding. Serving the Lord willingly and with sincerity. And in the Hebrew, that word translates as sincerity means the whole of it, the completeness of it. In other words, we serve him with all of our heart. And today we might use the word integrity. If a person has integrity in their character, then they have the character of God in their lives. So ultimately, the idea here is you mean what you say. And so if you love the Lord, you mean it. If you say that you love the Lord, you mean that. Paul put it this way in Philippians 1, 10 and 11, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. So what we see here is we are to approve what is excellent in order to be pure. Guess what? That word is the same word as sincere. And blameless until the day of Christ. Why? So we're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes where? Through Jesus to the glory and the praise of God. Then he says to serve in faithfulness as well. Psalms 15, 1 and 2. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. And then drop down to verse 4 with me. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Who may abide in the tent? Who may dwell in your holy city, Lord? The person who walks blamelessly with integrity. Those who do what is right and speaks the truth. The last part is so good. It's a person who does not change. In other words, the idea here is that a man keeps his promises even when it's no longer his advantage to do so. That's who can hang out in the Lord's tabernacle. That's how we serve God in faithfulness. The second thing that we're to do is to put away the gods of the past. Last part of verse 14, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Key here is for spiritual strength. Where does spiritual strength come from? From making a spiritual decision. I know where my help comes from, right? I know where my joy comes from. It doesn't come from the gods of the past. He says, put them away. And from this verse, we can probably safely conclude there were some people in Israel who had some of these gods in their tents, right? They would make these statues and they would put them in their homes. And the thinking was this. The thinking is that they would have that influence of that god in their house, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. It's crazy because when you think about all that God had done for them, like, why would you do that? Well, unfortunately, part of human nature is people hold on to things of the past. They hold on to the things of the world. Here's the deal. When someone comes to Christ, there's a process of transformation. Right? There's a process of change. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. Someone doesn't come to Christ and then the next day they're this pinnacle of spiritual maturity. Like, I've never seen that happen, right? It's a process. But I have seen the beginning of the process. Trudy and I have some dear friends that we grew up with over on the west side of the state. And the husband, when we were just out of high school, was in his apartment. He's watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV all by himself. And so when Billy comes to the part like he always did at every crusade and invites people to the stadium, those who are watching on TV, to surrender their hearts to Jesus and ask Jesus to save them, my friend does exactly that. Right? All by himself in his apartment, on his knees, gives his heart and his life to Jesus, which was super cool. But then, within a few days, he realizes all the music, all the reading material, all the drug stuff, all that stuff had to go. So he gathers all that stuff together. And he goes out to the dumpster of his apartment. He fills like half of the dumpster up with all this stuff. And let me tell you something. That guy has never looked back. We just saw them this last summer. It's been 40 years that he's been serving Jesus. And my point is, when he came to Christ, he put away the past. It was done. It was over. And he moved on with Jesus. It's an important concept to take hold of. Actually, it's a good thing to write down. Go ahead and write that down in your notes. In fact, it'd be a good thing to chisel on some rocks. That's how important it is. So it just never goes away. Apostle John said this in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Well, what is John really saying? He's saying the enemy to fellowship with God is idolatry. The enemy to fearing the Lord is idolatry. The enemy to having a relationship with Jesus is idolatry. So what is idolatry? It's the worship of someone or something in the place of Jesus. So why does John bring it up? Because it was a thing in John's day. Why does Joshua bring it up? Because it's a thing in Joshua's day. Guess what? It's a thing in our day. Like, I get we don't have these little figurines or statues that we worship in our houses probably. But we do have idols today, right? There is the idol of pleasure. There is the idol of drugs and alcohol. There is the idol of money. There is the idol of time. There is the idol of, and you can fill in the blank. And by the way, I can tell you what your idol is if you're wondering. Somebody look at your calendar and checkbook, I'll let you know, right? I say that all the time. It's pretty easy. Jesus said this in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus plainly says serving two masters is simply impossible. Right? You can, if you're here and you think that you're successfully serving two masters, let me tell you something this morning, you are deceived. Right? You just are. You can have both money and God, but you cannot serve both money and God. All right, the second way we serve God in faithfulness is to choose today whom you'll serve. Joshua said this in verse 15, choose this day whom you'll serve. I find it interesting that he says right before that, he says, and if the evil is in your eye, all right, let's start over, shall we? And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, it's almost like he's saying, do you guys find something wrong with serving the Lord? Is there something wrong with God? Are you offended in some way? And I'm thinking, what could be wrong with God's grace and God's favor? His amazing hand that he puts on us as believers, like, what's wrong with that? What's evil with that? Can I make an observation today? I just think there's a lot of people that we know, that we have contact with, that you run with, that have this complaint. Like they want to drink the poison and not get sick. They want to play with the scorpion and not get stung. But God knows the world, and it just doesn't work that way, right? This is a broken world with broken people in it. And if you play with fire, what's going to happen? You will get burned. God knows that, which is why he says, I love you. And I want you to have the fullness of God in your life. And I want your soul to be filled and overflow with the joy of the Lord. And so Joshua knew that that to compromise on this point would make them spiritually sick. And I think the same is true for us. Well, we need to decide. We need to stand on that decision. Who are you going to serve in your life? Because the reality is you're going to serve somebody. It's like the great American philosopher Bob Dylan. Those that are old enough to figure that one out will know that one. Now he wrote a song. Here's the words of his song. He said, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. Joshua was calling them to choose, to decide between the two, because you can't serve both. I have the feeling a lot of people just want to have them both, right? They want to be in God and they want to be in the world. Right, they find themselves what is called in the miserable middle. They have enough of Jesus to be miserable in the world, and they have enough of the world not to have the joy of the Lord. And Jesus makes a similar warning to the church of Laodicea, the book of Revelation, some pretty powerful words. Chapter 3, verses 15 to 20. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you would either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are a wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and the salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. To those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, eat with him, and he with me. What's he saying? Don't be lukewarm. Don't be that person that's halfway in between hot and cold. Don't be that person that's somewhere in the middle. Because if you are, Jesus says what? I'll spit you out of my mouth. And then he goes on to say that they had this bad attitude. They thought they were rich and they didn't need anything. And they just weren't thankful at all. And Jesus tells them how to be truly rich, right? How to be spiritually rich by being refined by fire. And then he says, clothe yourself with his righteousness. And then the second way is that we choose for ourselves today. Joshua 15, choose this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, here's the phrase, we will serve the Lord. You know, this verse, I think, is even more powerful when you see it in light of our Revelation passage. All of that to say that God wants relationship with us. He wants closeness. He wants nearness. And Joshua, at the end of his life, the encouragement to the people, he says, now you have to decide. You've seen what God has done, but you still have to decide whom you're going to serve. And so Joshua makes his decision known, right? He says it before they even respond. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, right? You got to love Joshua. Joshua is a leader who doesn't depend on anyone else to make decisions for him, right? He's going to take this stand, and he'll take the stand no matter if he's standing all by himself. He already knows where he stands on the issue. The question is, do you? I mean, push comes to shove. Do you know right now which direction you would go? You're going to serve God, you're going to serve the world. Right now's the time to decide. And if you have kids at home, guess what? They may not like it. But it's all about leadership, dads. As for me and my house, it means that my house may be different than other houses. I remember when our kids were growing up. They're like 33 and 30 now, but when they were in our house, right? There were times when they pushed back on what I actually meant when I said, as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. Right? They were like, well, other kids get to do this or go there or whatever it is. You know what I told them? That's other houses. That's not our house. I said, as for me and my house, here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve God. That's going to be the number one priority. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, thank you for your word today. God, my prayer for us this morning is that we would serve you and all that comes with that. God, this morning we want to take time just to honor you and to thank you for your love that you freely give to us. God, we want to thank you this morning for your grace and your mercy. And Father, I pray that we would have a desire that burns within us to the core of our soul. That we would have a desire to share Jesus with others. That even this week, God, as we come across people in our midst that need to know you, that through our life, through our decisions, through what we say, God, that we would be able to share the gospel. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.